Hello and welcome to Education Radio. This is a podcast of the Alamosa School District, and I am your host, Adriana Chapa. I am a mother, a teacher, and your neighbor. Joining me is Assistant Superintendent Luis Murillo. Hello, Luis. Here we are for our fourth episode.
Hi, Adri. I can't believe we are here for our fourth episode. It seems like time has just flown by, but I am excited to be here. And as always, we have a lot of information to share with our listeners today.
That is great. Well, let's get started. Our first segment is, Did You Know? What new information are we learning today?
Did you know that the Alamosa School District Board of Education is discussing the four-day school week as a possibility for our district next school year?
You mean we would have school on 4 days and everyone would have a three-day weekend? That's what the rest of the Valley schools are doing, isn't it? So explain to us how this came about.
Yes. So exactly what you talked about, there's a lot of things that still need to be discussed. But yes, a committee was formed as a result of an MOU signed by Alamosa Education Association and the Alamosa School District to explore and research the four-day school week as a possibility for the Alamosa School District and really the Alamosa community. The committee was composed of students, of course, parents, community members, teachers, administrators, and two board members.
Wow, interesting. So if a decision is made to adopt a four-day week, then the school day would be longer, or perhaps our school year would be longer, right?
Those are some of the decisions that will be made by our calendar committee if our Board of Education votes to move in this direction. So it is still too early to say that, you know, the day will be longer, the calendar will be longer. What we heard from other school districts is that it could be both. There are some school districts okay. that go from school from like 7:45, 7:48 to 4 p.m. And there are other school districts who go a little longer in the school year, okay. and the days of the kids are not as long. So once we begin doing this work and engaging in that conversation with the calendar committee, we are going to look at those options and together make the very best recommendation for our board to vote on a calendar that could then be adopted. And if we go this way and if our board gives us this direction through a vote, then we will have a lot more information the second semester.
All right. And so help me out here. So according to the Colorado Board of Education, there's a certain number of hours, right, that students must be in school receiving instruction. And so that will guide the ultimate decision, right?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. And we are following guidance from, like you said, the Colorado Department of Education to arrive at a school calendar as well as just a daily schedule.
Perfect. Okay. So how long has the committee been researching this?
The committee has been doing this work this whole semester. We've met a total of 7 times, and we've heard from other school districts such as Monte Vista, North Conejo School District, Pueblo 60, as well as Brighton School District. The committee also read several pieces and articles of research regarding the four-day school week. And we also gave a chance for the committee to voice their opinion or to. We did this exercise called Inside Circle, Outside Circle, because when I join committees, I want my voice to be heard, right? I'm giving up
of
my
course,
time,
yes.
My personal time to be there. So we wanted to make sure that all stakeholder groups got a chance to just speak their mind and their feelings. So we did an inside circle, outside circle with just different stakeholder groups. And the inside circle had to answer 3 questions. What are your hopes for a 4-day school week? What are your fears? And then what are some possible solutions? So we've done a lot of work in order to ready to bring a presentation to the Board of Education and a recommendation at our next school board meeting this Thursday. And then I believe that the Board of Education will take action at the first school board meeting on January 5th.
Okay. Well, then that was my next question. Who's going to make the final decision?
So, yeah, the Board of Education ultimately makes that decision, and that will happen again on January 5th at the board meeting.
Now, the public is welcome to attend all board meetings, correct?
That's correct. In fact, we encourage it. All board meetings are open to the public. Our board meets every first and third Thursday of the month. The meetings are held at 6 p.m. at our administration building, which, just a reminder, we've moved to 403 Santa Fe Avenue. And unless we expect a crowd, we would move the meetings, and of course, we would make sure to let the community know. For example, this Thursday's meeting, we are holding it at the high school because we are encouraging folks to engage in the public comment section of the board meeting.
Okay.
And we communicate our board meetings through our main website as well as our Facebook page, and it's also under the Board of Education section in the website.
Okay, and that's this Thursday, so that would be maybe in the auditorium?
That will be happening in the auditorium at Alamosa High School.
All right. And so if a parent would like to speak to the board about this matter, then it would be during the public comments?
Yes, it'll be during the public comment, and all they have to do is they need to sign up. There is a sign-up sheet, a piece of paper with a pen, and they just write their name down. And they get 5 minutes for public comment.
Okay. So your name has to be on the list so that you're scheduled to speak to everyone at the meeting.
Correct. And then we also Zoom our board meetings since they're open to the public. If a person is joining us via Zoom, then there is a raise hand feature on Zoom that a person needs to indicate that they are interested in public comment, so they raise their hand and then they're given permission to unmute and to show their camera if they choose to do so.
Okay. Well, that's an important meeting happening Thursday at 6 p.m. at the high school auditorium. Now we know, Luis, about the 4-day school week that Alamos is considering.
Correct.
And continuing to research.
Yeah, and again, we encourage participation from the community. Just one last thing. We will have interpretation for this Thursday's board meeting in Spanish, and we are working on Canjobal. So if anyone is, just help us get the word out.
Okay. All right. Very good. So now we know. Well, we look forward to hearing more about this in our next segment. Well, let's move on to our second segment, Getting to Know Our Schools. We have a guest today, don't we?
We do. We have a guest. We have the pleasure of having Kathy Pacheco Olga with us. Kathy is our sort of new. She's been with us for almost a full semester, Alamosa Elementary School K-2 principal. And again, I said she's sort of new, so she's sort of new to her school district, but definitely not new to education and not new to the role of principal. Welcome.
Why, thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Welcome, Kathy. We are honored to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, as Luis said, I'm not new to education. I've been in education for over 20 years. I started off as an elementary teacher and taught for many, many years, and then moved into the role of an instructional coach and then into principal. And I have most recently been a principal in Brush.
Okay. So. And what brought you to Alamosa?
Well, interestingly enough, my family is mostly in Wyoming, but we got there by way of coming from New Mexico and on up. And so I kind of felt like it was kind of coming back to my roots and being with a more Hispanic community. And I was really excited about that idea.
Well, wonderful. So tell us about safety procedures that you have in place at your school, because I know that we are all concerned about safety and we want the kids to be super safe and we want everyone to have information about it. So fill us in on some safety procedures you have in place.
Okay, well, one of the newest things we've been working on are our fire drills, because we just found that we weren't as efficient as we wanted to be. And so we have most recently taken a look at our school maps and decided the best way for us to exit the building and to, you know, reunify in different parts of the parking lot or outside of the school so that we could get there safely and get out quickly. And so that's one of the things we've been working on. And then, of course, we're always looking at any of the drills that we do to make sure that we're doing it right, that we have good practices in place, and that, you know, if there's something that needs to be changed, that we are looking at it and getting it corrected quickly.
Thank you for sharing that, Kathy. In previous podcasts, we've been grounding on the high reliability school survey that, you know, all parents receive through the various schools. And one of the questions on there, you know, speaks about that. And it states, teacher, staff, and my child have practiced implementing emergency management procedures for specific incidents, such as what you talked about, a fire drill, lockdown. And I know that, you know, this is a practice. And what I learned from the survey is, some parents said, I don't know on several things. So we're taking this opportunity to tell our parents, our listeners, that yes, we do in fact have a plan, and we practice quite a bit.
Yes, we do. In fact, now with our new procedures, we're going to practice probably 3 or 4 times in, you know, the span of a couple of weeks, just to make sure that we have it down and that we're, you know, that we're all very comfortable with it. My teachers have done a walkthrough on their own and with their class, just so that they and their class know where they're going. And then we're going to do a couple of practice sessions this week, and then next week we're on to more. So we always try to make sure that we're, you know, very well practiced.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, the other question, Kathy, because we've been talking about safety, and right behind safety, the purpose of school and the school system is about education, and is, of course, about academic growth and academic achievement. So the other question that I pulled from the survey is, teams of teachers at my child's school look at student achievement data to figure out how to improve students' learning. And this was another one that had a significant number of I don't knows as a response. So tell us, what do teachers do? What do principals do? What data do you look at? How often? And what do you do with all that data, all the tests that our kids have to take nowadays?
Okay, well, we do have 3 benchmark periods, the beginning of the year, the middle of the year, and the end of the year. And so those are our big testing periods. And we look at that data to just start to form ideas of what our kids are lacking in and what we need to be working on. From there, we meet weekly in professional learning communities. And the grade level teams get together to discuss their data, to discuss where kids really need to be focused in on, and we write goals for those areas in need. And then not only do we focus in on those goals, we progress monitor them. So we are progress monitoring often to see if we're meeting the goal that we have set for ourselves. We also meet in response to intervention teams, and we invite parents in for those. So those are when a student is really in need and we feel like they're maybe not coming together with the rest of the class, whether they're way too ahead or they're struggling and are behind. And we ask parents to come in with us and to talk about our concerns and try to figure out a best plan for them. And then we set an individual goal for that student.
Excellent.
Okay, so you talked about that. You're saying we set goals and we write goals. Talk to us about, because I as an educator understand that that is specific goals for each and every student. So each and every student has a specific academic plan based on their strengths and weaknesses.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. So what we do in our professional learning communities is to really look at kids' individual data on our DIBELS testing, which is a reading test, and then NWA testing, which includes both reading and math. And we look to see where their gaps are and where their strengths are. And from there, we formulate plans, we talk about goals, and for most, you know, most students, we can write a pretty general goal that we're all working towards. But then it's when they, like I said, are struggling or they're way far ahead that we have to, again, go, okay, I need to be more specific for this student. And then we write more specific goals for them.
And I'm glad that you talked about both sides for those students who are struggling a little bit, but we do have several students who are ahead, and it is our responsibility to continue to engage them and make them wonder about what's next in their learning.
Yes, so we will actually set advanced learning plans for some of those students or give them the opportunity to be in enrichment groups if they are ahead, because we want them to keep going and to
absolutely,
you know, keep piquing their interest and get them, you know, more excited about what they're doing.
Awesome. And I know we talked about another one of the items I pulled from the survey, which says teachers at my child's school meet together on a regular basis. And you talked about Every Friday, professional learning communities or PLCs. So every Friday, our teachers are getting a chance to meet as teams. And of course, you as the leader of that school are in there engaging in the work that the teachers are doing.
Yes. Yes. And that's also the day that we do our response to intervention teams. So if we are focused in on the one individual student with individual goals, whether ahead or behind, we meet with parents on Friday afternoons.
Excellent.
What else is happening at the K2? I feel like I, dominate this part of the conversation, but what else is happening?
Oh, there's so much happening at the K through 2. So, we're just kind of getting our baseline together and figuring out how we all work as a team, really working on culture and climate with a new leader. And so, that takes a little bit of effort and just takes us coming together to become new teams. And so we've been working on that. And then, we have lots happening. We have Santa coming next week, and he's going to give books to the kids. And we just had an assembly, a quarterly assembly, so that we could celebrate kids and their individual awards. And we had a great parent turnout for that. So that was a lot of fun. We haven't had parents in for a while, so that was great. And let's see, what else do we have going on? We just are working on so many things to improve. We just know that we definitely have some goals for our kids, some learning that we need to do, that we're behind in some areas, and that we need to really close that gap, because we want to send really, high-quality learners on to the 3 through 5.
Yeah. I have a bit of a personal question. I actually have two. One, you talked about how our community was enticing to you because of, the diversity and the Hispanic representation in our community. Have you tried our restaurants? And if you have, what's your favorite so far?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know that I could pick a favorite at this point, because I love them all. Of course, Spanish food is definitely my thing. And, oh, boy, the sopapillas at El Nino's are wonderful, and they remind me of grandma's. And, gosh, I just have found so many of the restaurants to be so appealing. So I think at this point I can't say just one, but they're all wonderful.
So you'll be visiting them again and forming some opinions, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even at my brother's pizza, that they have green chili on pizza, which I had never tried before. And I am in love with that, by the way. So, yes, it's a wonderful place.
Well, I am also a fan of the sopapillas at Nino's, definitely my top three. And I didn't know that we have pizza with green chili at my brother's place. So I'll have to take the family
there. You'll have to
there.
Try that.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
right.
If you haven't tried it, you have to go. That was like one of the first places we visited, and it was wonderful.
Well, we stay busy and definitely have to make time to, get out there and eat some pizza with green chili.
Absolutely. Well, Kathy, thank you so much. You've brought a lot of information. Are there like campus goals, like broad goals? Anything that you'd like to share with us?
Well, we are really, really working to reduce our READ plans. As the Colorado State Department of Education has laid forth some law about kids who are underperforming in reading. And if they are, then we are required to put them on a READ plan.
Okay.
At this point, we have high numbers of those. And so our big goal is to reduce that number. So we're working hard with all of those kids so that by the end of the year, we have reduced that number by 10 to 15%.
Well, and it's good to hear you say read. So as a parent, if I have a child at home, what can I do to help?
Read with them. Just read with them. Read with them every night. Make it a pattern. Talk about books. Just enjoy them. Because that love of reading will really entice our kids to want to read, and they will enjoy it more. So it's really just that bonding piece of reading with your child every night that makes a huge difference.
Okay. Reading with your child. And does it matter which language it's in?
Absolutely not. If their first language is a different language, they should read that first anyway. They should be involved in it and truly immersed in it.
All right. Okay. So parents, we heard it from the expert. We need to read with the kids at home and just make it a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Yes. Excellent. All right. Well, Kathy, thank you for joining us, and we look forward to hearing more about what's happening at the K2 building and about what your restaurant discoveries are as we next time we meet. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Well, let's move on to upcoming events. This is a busy time of year, folks. And so I know that at Ortega Middle School, Alice in Wonderland will be presented on December 12th and 13th at 7 p.m. And it is open to the public, and it's sure to be a fun evening for the whole family. Tickets are available at the door. So come on out and have a good time. And I know the elementary students, some elementary students are going to see it during the school day.
We are.
Along with middle school students who will be seeing it during the school day as well. What else do we have going on?
Well, since we have Kathy here, I know that the elementary is planning the Christmas programming. So tell us about it.
Yes, so our Christmas program this year is going to be a little bit different. In the past, each grade level has done their own performance, and we decided that we would like to bring our whole community together. And so we are going to do our performance next Wednesday, December 14th, at Ortega Middle School, because, you know, we need that little bit bigger facility. But from 5 to 7, we are bringing all of our grade levels together. And they're going to perform separately, but all in the same area and have all our parents together as one. We will have PTO selling T-shirts and some of our Moose Nation, you know, paraphernalia outside. But we're excited about it. We're really excited to do something different and bring the whole group together, bring the community together.
Well, that's something to look forward to. And that'll be next Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good idea. Last school year, when I got a chance to attend the Christmas programming, it was jam-packed in there. So I'm excited that OMS can provide a little more space for our community.
Yes, I am too. I'm very grateful to Mrs. Ortega for allowing us to use their facility for that.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Amy, if you're listening. And then the last thing that I would like to add is we are nearing the end of our first semester and what that
means. That's right.
Is grades will be final. So for our little ones, you know, it means that they have a little bit more time to continue to learn and possibly submit homework. But for our secondary students, especially high school students, this is the time where grades are finalized and they get to earn a credit as they are in the journey towards graduation. So definitely, I know the high school is going to be having a final schedule. The middle school, I know that you guys do finals. So just the message out there is there's still time to get all that work done or get ready for finals or for major presentations that are going on.
And there's also tutoring going on at Ortega Middle School in the afternoons. And if your child is behind, that's an excellent time for them to catch up. And if you're going to be absent traveling that last week, remember that grades will be turned in by 8 o'clock in the morning on that first day that we get back to school. Mm-hmm. And so we really need to wrap everything up. All right, so just a quick reminder, I don't know if this will make it on air in time, but we've got that board meeting happening Thursday at the high school at 6 o'clock.
Correct.
And come out and hear some more about a four-day week. Well, that does it for today's episode of Education Radio. Parents and neighbors, thank you for joining us. Radio Education is a podcast by the Alamosa School District. Podcasts are available in both English and Spanish and are a click away on our district page. Remember, parents, that a good education is key to your child's success and provides your child with a life of options. Until next time.
Alamosa School District, students today, leaders tomorrow.